agreement.
Welcome, good folks. I would like to suggest that you take up these seats here. Otherwise, nobody will be able to see you in a corner. And it's not the naughty corner. Faith, could you kindly close the door for us there, or there's somebody at the door. When you are in, could you close it behind you, sir? Agrima has a slight presentation to share with us, but the unit in Parliament, it's called Sound and Vision. Oh, there they come to sort out so that we are connected there. So the gentleman that you see taking very long strides, it's Mr. Sound and Vision. It's got quite a heavy title. Sounds very entertaining. Sound and Vision. Thank you. A round of applause. CEO of Agrima and the rest of the delegation, whom you kindly inform us who is accompanying you. Welcome to all of you. We are in your able hands. You may commence as soon as you are ready.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, Agrima South Africa is here to present the 2014-15 Annual Report to Parliament, Portfolio Committee on Public Works, today Tuesday, the 20th October, Old Assembly Chamber, Parliament, Cape Town, at 2 o'clock. I'm accompanied by Mr. Tapelo Tshikomba, who is representing the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer of Agrima South Africa, and Mr. Sami Skosana, representing the chairman of Agrima, couldn't be here and he sent his apologies. So this is the three person who is representing Agrima South Africa. We are here to present the annual report, and with your permission, sir, I would like to proceed.
You may commence, sir.
Thank you, sir. Agrima South Africa presents its 2014-15 annual report, and the contents are listed there on the slide that is in front of you, which has a foreword by the Minister of Public Works, reviewed by the chairperson, management report. We've got the financial statements, and then we've got the list of outputs in the year under review, to certificates granted. We've got the active certificates and inactive certificates and some information on the technical agency. The key points within our annual 2015 annual report are covered here, listed there, the importance and use of the Agrima certificate, the progress on the legislative process, which were covered by the Minister in his forward, the board's oversight role, the mandate of Agrima and its promotion of innovation. Now, on technical issues, we've covered the main stages in the granting of a certificate, items covered in the quality inspections and validity reviews, and then we've got the annual and quarterly targets and achievements in the reporting year measured against Agrima's mandates, technical outputs, and financial performance. Agma South Africa has been in existence since 1969, and for the last 46 years, the entity has been undertaking technical assessments of non-standard or alternative building technologies in South Africa. Our mandate is to take these products and assess them to a technical assessment process, which is testing their fitness for purpose by evaluating their performance in use. We do this by undertaking scientific tests on their performance in use to see whether the products can be used as standardized products or can be used in construction. And we only test products for which there are no national standards or codes of practice in existence. This is an important point because it highlights what we do. Our role is limited to the construction industry, and the products we test are products for which there are no national standards or codes of practice. Typical examples of products we test could be building systems or individual products. And last year, when you did come to us, the end of last year, to pay us a courtesy call during the oversight visits, we did illustrate some of those examples, and I believe you now have a very good understanding of what we do in support of government's role. On the legislative process, the Agma South Africa Bill was submitted to Parliament and subsequently referred by the Speaker of the National Assembly to this Portfolio Committee of Public Works for consideration. The Portfolio Committee did go through the bill, and Agma South Africa observed the processes of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works to consider the bill until its approval with amendments, including the clause-to-clause like you're doing this morning with the appropriation bill. Agma South Africa observed the consideration of the bill by the National Council of Provinces, NCOP, until it was passed. We went through the necessary processes, and the bill has been passed by the National Council of Provinces. The bill then followed the normal parliamentary processes, and Parliament has submitted the bill to the President for his assent, and that is where the status is as of now. The enactment of the bill will pave way for Agma South Africa to be established as a juristic person, and this will eliminate the challenge of irregular transfers to the entity by the National Department of Works, which had been found as irregular by Treasury and the AG's chambers during their audit processes. I now turn over to the board and its oversight role on Agma South Africa. The Department of Public Works and the Board of Agma South Africa continue to play an oversight role over the entity. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because it ensures that the entity's mandates are fulfilled while also providing guidance under applicable circumstances. In this regard, regular meetings, feedback sessions were held with the Department of Public Works, as well as regular board meetings are held as per the King 3 recommendation. This oversight role is very important, ladies and gentlemen, because as a public entity, we believe that we hold public funds and we need to ensure that the funds are utilized in accordance with the mandate and in accordance with the requirements of the national regulations and legislation. This oversight role enables the agency to deliver on its mandate and fulfill its regulatory requirements, reporting requirements. I believe this is vitally important, and it assists to ensure that everything that you do is in track and in accordance with the required legislation and required national requirements. Ladies and gentlemen, Honorable Chair, the Chairman's review looked at the origin of Agma. This looked back as to when it was started and the role of the board, because the Chairman of the Board of Agma leads the board in its oversight role over the agency, as well as interacts with the National Department of Public Works to ensure that Agma South Africa is adequately managed. The Agma system is a procedure which facilitates and encourages the use of innovations in the construction industry. As I've said earlier, our mandate covers the building and construction industry only. Therefore, products for which are outside these particular industries do not fall within our ambit of responsibility. The AGRIMA system, the system of testing products and issuing certificates, it indicates to clients and building control authorities that a building system or a product or a technique is, in the opinion of AGRIMA South Africa, technically sound and capable of giving satisfactory performance. This is done by taking the product and subjecting them to scientific tests in accordance with local and internationally accepted testing methods and procedures. If the product is found to be satisfactory, then a certificate is granted after the technical investigation and approval by the technical committee. The tests are carried out by the AGRIMA technical assessment team. The approval of the certificate is done by the next level, which is made up of a board, as I mentioned previously, and the board members, as well as industry experts, oversee the work that the technical agency did to be able to come up with an opinion whether that particular product has been tested adequately, the tests have been conducted correctly, and the product can be used as a safe product in society. This is important, ladies and gentlemen, to protect the individuals and the environment from harmful products which may get to the market. We believe that the agency makes use of knowledgeable expert opinions and laboratory tests at the CSIR, the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. There's a spelling error there, I apologize for that. Local universities, accredited laboratories, and the South African Bureau of Standards, SABS. These laboratories are laboratories which fall under the ambit of accepted labs as credible labs, suitable labs that can be used to give an opinion that is accepted as being a good opinion in the eyes of the public. So our tests, once tested, give results which are credible and acceptable by members of the public. Honorable Chair, ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, although a standard building regulation or national code of products have been in existence for many years in many parts of the world, the AGRIMA system was introduced to accommodate new products which fall under the scope of these standards and codes of practice. Why is this necessary? It's necessary because as the world improves, as new products come to the fore, they develop the product without testing a standard, because it's a new product. You can't develop a standard for something you don't know. So the product development goes ahead, and then we develop test methods suitable to test that particular product. Therefore, it's not one size fits all. It's not one test for every product, but a test method that is suitable for a particular product or a group of products. This is necessary because, as you're aware, the world is changing. It's no longer the same world we used to know. And as new products come to the fore, we have to develop new test methods to suit those particular products. And as we improve, these products then get used as standardized products. So the AGRIMA certificates or their equivalents are now being issued on a regular basis. Why? Because there are more and more new products coming to the fore. The AGRIMA system, in fact, supports these codes of regulation and does not ignore them or play against them. We play a big role within the systems of developing new standards by the Bureau of Standards. We assist them when they come up with new standards, because when they're developing a standard for an innovative product for which we have a test method or criteria, they normally adopt those test methods and criteria in the use, in the development of the new standards. Honorable Chair, ladies and gentlemen, today's innovations may be tomorrow's familiar products. And it does occur that many even innovations which may be currently under the ambit of AGRIMA South Africa certificated products may be considered as conventional and acceptable without a certificate in something like 5, 6, or 10 years, once there is a national standard and they've been introduced to the market. There are several products which have come to the AGRIMA route and are now used as standardized products. On board governance, ladies and gentlemen, we do have 8 board members, and our current chairman is Mr. Pepe Silinga. as is required by the King III, we do have strategic planning sessions held by the board and the agency, and we work closely also with the National Department of Public Works in making sure that whatever we do falls in line with the national policies. So we align ourselves with the National Department of Public Works and its provinces and its various organizations, and we various other agencies within the public works family, like the CIDB, the CBE, and the IDT. And the board focuses on consolidating the previous strategic plans and moving the agency forward. The board has a technical subcommittee, which, as I said earlier, does the approval of certificates and focuses on key objectives and approved agreements, and also approves agreements certificates for fitness for purpose. As I mentioned earlier, the board ensures that Agrima South Africa is well governed and our financial statements are audited, and we did receive a clean audit report for the last financial year. I must mention here at this stage that we are part and parcel of the CSR until the new bill comes out, and as such our funds are audited as part and parcel of the CSR funds. What are some of the benefits of the Agrima certificate, ladies and gentlemen? The certificate is a technical conduit by which new products and improved standardized building materials can get to the market. It leads to improvements in performance of infrastructure development due to advancements in products and building systems, and can lead towards improvement of existing products. It also helps in the delivery of infrastructure at a cheaper and faster rate. On the next slide, I have a couple of benefits of the Agrima certificate, which contributes towards accelerated infrastructure development. As I mentioned previously, it provides reassurance of fitness for purpose and is an authoritative assessment of system performance and can contribute towards addressing infrastructure backlog. The graph I have there, ladies and gentlemen, has a timeline on the x-axis and growth on the y-axis. The current technology, once introduced, goes through a phase of rapid development and reaches an apex at which it either stabilizes or declines over time. And it allows for emerging technologies to surpass the performance of current technologies. I've given to this particular house previous examples of several products which led to improvement in performance of our existing products. For example, a long time ago we had copper being used for pipeworks. This has largely been replaced by plastic or related polymer-related materials, which perform better, are cheaper, easier to install, and are less harmful to the environment. Therefore, the emerging technologies lead to improvements in performance and lowers the cost of technology. That's just one example that particular slide illustrates. Honorable Chair, honorable members, the modus operandi of Agrima South Africa is to use the performance concept. From time immemorial, the performance concept has been used. Long time ago, when there were no national standards, one would approach a builder and request the builder to build a house for them. And in those days, they would probably agree on what is the acceptable standard. They would either say, you build me a house like my neighbor's house or whatever it is. And if the builder was built, if the building was built, the person would be happy with it. If it was unhappy, then they would agree on a suitable member way to correct that deficiency. Agrima South Africa receives these applications from members of the public. Therefore, we do not test our own products which we develop ourselves. The products which we test are brought to us by members of the public. It could be an institution, it could be a company, it could be an individual. Once these people bring the products for us, we test it in accordance with test methods which I mentioned earlier. And remember, we only test products for which there are no national standards or codes of practice. When we do carry this test, our modus operandi, we look at the entire performance of the product. It's the entire performance of the product. Therefore, we carry out a holistic, comprehensive technical assessment to evaluate the suitability of the product or system as being fit for purpose or not. Therefore, we look at it from all angles. It's not one test, like when you go to the Bureau of Standards, you can say, I only want a comprehensive test. We don't do that. We do a comprehensive assessment. We assess it from all angles. We look at it from all angles. Therefore, it's not one size fits all. It's a suitable test method for the product to ensure that we are fully satisfied by the end of the assessment process that that product is okay and can be used as fit for purpose. I must emphasize, ladies and gentlemen, that our tests are independent and authoritative and are based on actual tests carried out. In other words, we actually test the product. We don't just give an opinion. We test it and then we use the test results to analyze and make a judgment call whether that product is fit or not. We define the performance in use without specifying how the performance would be attained. In other words, when somebody brings a product, we do not say that you must meet a certain standard like the Bureau standard. We say, what do you want to use it for? That's a question we ask. We ask the performance. And then we subject that particular product to test in accordance with that performance. The modus operandi allows us to do four things. One, once a product comes to us, we develop a performance criteria, which is the minimum performance, which is acceptable. Now, the criteria has to be suitable for the local conditions within South Africa, and it must be accepted by industry. Therefore, we do not develop the performance criteria alone as Agrima, sitting in the corner. We call everybody who is an expert or has an interest in that particular product, and we develop the test performance criteria using the same methodology as the South African Bureau of Standards uses for developing standards. It's a committee kind of process whereby individuals come in, experts, suppliers, manufacturers, everybody comes in, they give their opinion, and then you reach consensus. This is what we will accept as a minimum performance for a product to reach the market for that particular area. Once we have developed that minimum performance criteria, the next step is to develop suitable test methods, which measures the actual performance of the product. And then once we actually measure the performance, we make a judgment call on its suitability in light of actual performance. Some of the typical tests that we do carry out during the evaluation are listed there. I'll just mention one or two of them, including structural tests, thermal performance. Quality is a key aspect. The other thing I must stress, ladies and gentlemen, is that our tests must be in accordance with the law. And in the building industry, the law that is that is at the EPIC is the building standards law. Therefore, we cannot allow a performance that is lower than what is in the national standards. Therefore, the new product must be equal to or better than national standards. It's very important. Therefore, we comply with the requirement of the Building Standards Act, Act 107 of 1977 as amended, as well as the national building regulations, which are in accordance with the Act. Therefore, our performance criteria must be equal to or better than. We also look at acoustics, accuracy, durability, and several other technical aspects. These are just some of the typical tests that you do cover in the evaluating processes. Now, there are five steps within the operating procedures. First is application. The second one is the preparation of the program and the contract offer. In other words, when somebody comes with a product, as I said earlier, they supply us a technical application for certification. We then prepare an evaluation program and contract offer in accordance with the certification application that we did receive. Once this contract is accepted by the client, we do make him the offer. We go ahead and carry out the certification and the testing of the evaluation. We also do have procedures for people who are unhappy. When they feel that we have refused to award certification or the product has failed the test, and they feel that aggrieved, they may appeal to the board. So that is there. And also we develop technical guidelines and criteria and indicators. On slide 19, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I do have what is listed on a typical certificate. Key items during the year that we're reviewing on a particular certificate is to check the certificate number and to check whether it's valid with our office and it's applicable use. In other words, in the year under review, any particular certificate issued is not issued for all applications. The users of which it is applicable to, and as such, these users are listed on the front page of the certificate, and also that particular user's list any limitations, if any, and any applicable conditions which may be it may be used under. It also lists registered owner and licensees and people who are competent to build using that particular system. And we also comply with other government agencies, like once somebody has a certificate, when he wants to do a government job, he still needs to be registered with the CITB Register of Contractors and also comply with the NHBRC requirements under the Department of Human Settlements. On the left of that particular slide is a typical certificate. This is what a typical Agrima South Africa certificate looks like. It's typically about 40 pages long and lists technical conditions as listed under the quick guide on the left there. Ladies and gentlemen, in the year under review, if you look at our achievements measured against our mandate, Agrima South Africa serves the continuum in interest by providing assurance for purpose, by assuring fitness for purpose of innovative, non-standard construction products as well as ongoing quality assurance. In the year under review, I believe that we did achieve this particular mandate by the number of certificates that were fit for purpose and were approved by the board. Our second mandate lists that Agrima South Africa shall work with the construction industry in the development of cost-effective, innovative, and non-standard construction technology. This was achieved and has been listed and is approved by the number of certificates issued. The third mandate is that Agrima South Africa disseminates correct, objective, and relevant information to all concerned in respect of technical, socio-economic, regulatory aspects of innovative and non-standard construction technologies. We are the authoritative agency in this particular area, and I believe that we have explained how we achieved this particular mandate within our annual report. The fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh mandates are listed there, which include support to policymakers at all levels to minimize the risks associated with the use of innovative technology. The agency staff are actively involved in, as I mentioned, the South African Bureau of Standards Generation Committees and several other technical committees, like the NHBRC Industry Advisory Board, the CITB Industry Advisory Council, and several other councils. So we do play an interactive and supportive role in several of these other government entities. We also support the IDT in the application of the projects using innovative construction products. Agrima South Africa supports the application of the National Building Regulations I mentioned how previously, and we actively maintain international links with our peer organizations and continues to support the South African construction industry in its export activities by facilitating the approval of South African innovative products to be used in other countries abroad. This is achieved, and we do play our role with our international partners, and we are an active member within the World Federation of Technical Assessment Organizations. Honorable Chair, ladies and gentlemen, Agrima, the last point on our mandate, when you measure our performance in accordance with the mandate, is that we shall continue to facilitate the acceptance of innovative products within the context of government's new priorities and policies. This has been achieved. On the annual report, we did list the certificates granted and also listed the inactive and active and inactive certificates. On the next few slides, I have listed the various products which we did certificate. These are the outputs during the year under review. Some of them, the first one there is a one-coat coating system. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a big improvement over the traditional three-coat painting system. In the past, you needed to put an undercoat, wait for the undercoat to dry, then put a first coat, a second coat, wait for it to dry, and then put a final coat. But this new product is a one-coat application. It's you apply it once, and it's done. The second building there is an alternative steel frame building system. These light steel frame building systems are being used extensively throughout the country. Thank God none of ours has collapsed, like the bridge that dramatically collapsed in Johannesburg recently. This concept is based on a steel frame technology conforming to South African National Standards 517, which is a standard for light steel frame construction. And then we've got a masonry building system on the right. On the next slide, I'll just focus on the middle one, which is the design builder energy analysis software. As I mentioned previously, there was legislation that was passed by the South African Bureau of Standards on minimum performance requirements for buildings to meet in energy performance. And as such, there was need for an software to analyze buildings to meet the national standards. And as such, we were the agency that assessed this particular software to confirm that building software actually does work. This is an internationally used software, but it had to be adopted for South African conditions, for African conditions. On the next slide, ladies and gentlemen, we have two building systems on the left and an under-tiled roof membrane, which is superior to the conventional standard under-tiled roof membranes. On the next slide, I'll just focus on the high-density polymer Envirodur. This polymer is a material like plastic-like, but it's high density. It's very hard. It's harder than wood, or as hard as wood. And you can use it as a door, as a window. You can make tables. You can make sanitary top structures. So it's like a plastic door designed for. This particular one is used for these standalone VIP toilets or sanitary top structures. And it's simple to use. It provides privacy and protection. So we will see more and more of these products coming to the market. And then we also have two other building systems and a damp-proof membrane on that particular slide. So these are just some of the products which you do approve. We also have a liquid water storage tank and another wall coating system as well as a building system. So in a nutshell, these are just a range of products. We've got more information on them on the annual report, or if you need further information, they can be available from our website or from our offices. On the next slide, we have a sanitation system as well as another computer software for aluminium window and door design, as well as a building system. And then a window UV calculator. The UV is a thermal transmission value of a window. As I mentioned previously, there are standards for energy performance. Therefore, it became necessary to measure the performance of windows, and this particular software does that particular way. We also have ventilated improved pit latrines, VIP latrines, and UV, urine diversion toilet system. These are similar to the systems which we showcased to you while you visited our site in Pretoria last year. And water tanks. So ladies and gentlemen, those are just some of the technical outputs in the year under review. On the next slide, ladies and gentlemen, I will highlight the technical outputs in performance measured against the performance in previous years. And I must say that they're in line with the last 2-3 years. I will not go into further detail in measuring the technical outputs the last year. I will now hand over to my financial colleague to give us information on the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and all honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm going to present the audited annual financial performance with comparison of the previous years. But I will dwell much on the 2014-2015, which is under review. In this financial year, we have received grant of 9.6 million. Out of this 9.6 million, we also received a local private sector, which is the certificate that we have done, of 1.9 million. And on public sector, we didn't receive anything. We didn't have any application for public sector. On international sector, we received 160,000, and the total income for the financial year was 11.6 million. And on the expenses, employee remuneration for the year was 5.9 million, depreciation for the year was 516,000, and operating expenses for the year was 5,031,000. And on the operating expense, I just need to elaborate what is it all about. It's including running expenses, which is of running the office, traveling, stationery, and all other administration in the office. And also, it includes share services, which includes the finance, the HR, the business support that we get from the CSIR, and also it includes executive levy, which is the legal, the audit, the accounts department, the assets department, and also the procurement. And the margin before the interest was 185,000, and the interest that we receive from the money that the grant money and also the income that we received from the certificates was 181,000 for this financial year. And the surplus for this year was 367,000. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, that concludes our presentation. I've just got a few slides of some of the products of which you have certificated. This particular product, as I mentioned previously, is a product here in Cape Town in Delft. This particular slide is the Athletes Village in Maputo that was used for the All Africa Games. It was built in a very short period of time. It's an innovative building system. This is a university hostel here in Stellenbosch University, built using innovative system. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for assisting us to achieve excellent results. We believe that together everyone achieves more. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Honorable Chair, back to you.
Thank you very much to the presenters. I would also like to welcome the Minister of Public Works. I must say that whilst you are presenting and reminding us of our visit to you in the Gauteng province, and one of your slides, it shows the VIP toilet. Now, I've got a very keen sense of hearing. I heard one of my members say that whilst other portfolio committees go to London and elsewhere, we as this portfolio committee visit VIP toilets. All I can say is the remit of our responsibility. So we'll do our responsibility to the best of our capability. Hopefully, well, I'm sure we'll be able to visit the African country or somewhere where you can see more than a VIP toilet. Baba Stole, welcome, sir. I must say that I missed you this morning. We had very interesting deliberations on the expropriation bill. We'll continue after having done justice to this particular presentation. But I'm always happy to see you, sir. Honorable Treya.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, it was an interesting presentation. Thank you for that. And it's always good to see new technologies being developed, and we need more of that. And obviously that's the technical skills that is in short supply, but they are doing a great job. But I have one, two questions, two in fact. On page slide 8, you say that you make use of knowledgeable expert opinions and laboratory tests at the Council for Scientific Research. Yeah, it makes sense that they should be located there. But I was just wondering, why is this entity falling under the Department of Public Works and not under Science and Technology? It seems that's something that should, that fits in very well with Science and Technology. That's what you're doing. You're developing or overseeing the development of new technologies, and you're making use of laboratory tests at the CSIR. So I was just wondering, isn't that, you know, why don't you fall under Science and Technology? It just looks that that's where you belong. And then you talk about obviously making use of knowledgeable experts to do all these tests and certify that this product is safe for you. So the people you appoint or that you contract to do these tests for you, obviously they are very, very important. They play a crucial role in your whole operation. So Who appoints these people and who are they? Do they work for you full time, or do you work contract them to do certain tests for you? Where do you get them and who appoints them, and how do you know that they are really the experts in the field? If you could just elaborate a little bit on those technical expert opinions that you make use of. Mr. Chairman, and then the second point is on the financial performance. That looks quite healthy, and that's good to see, but I have one or two questions. I see under the contract income, under the local private sector, you increased the income over the last 3 years, but the local public sector decreased, and then in the current financial year, there's absolutely naught. So I just wonder what happened to the local public sector. Why not making use of your products? Can you just explain that to us and elucidate that to us? Thank you, that's for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Dreya. I must just say that in terms of the policy aspect of the question that you posed, the CEO might not be the best person to answer that as to why they are located within the remit of the Department of Public Works. If memory serves me well, I think in 1969, AGRIMA was formed by the then Minister of Public Works. And the rationale was that they report to the Department of Public Works because of the brand and focus of their work is within the construction industry. So they have a linkage with not the Bureau of Standards is responsible for standards in regard to certain materials, but they have a specific responsibility that's slightly out of the remit of the Bureau of Standards. So in terms of policy, those will be some of the reasons. But I'm not here to speak for the current minister. I can see his hand is jumping up and down. He'd also like to say his bit in regard to this particular matter. But before I give him the opportunity, let me take the other members. There might be questions that are also ancillary and might need the response whilst he's here from the ministry and over and above from the entity. So I'll take the next in line was Honorable Madlopa, and then followed by Honorable Fultani, followed by Honorable Kopani, and then last but not least, or second last, Honorable Sithole, and Honorable Madite, and then Honorable Adams, in that order. It seems all members want to have their say on this issue. So in that order, good folks.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I wish to congratulate the institution AGRIMA South Africa for continuously good performance around the issue of the audit. So we congratulate them for that for 11 years, continuously. My question, I think I'm covered on the local public sector because there is nil this current financial year. No, 2014-2015. But I want also to check on the international sector. There is a significant decline when you look on the 2014-2015. Maybe to share with us what is the reason for that high jump decline. Secondly, Chair, I want to check whether is there any vacancies that the institution has currently, if they do have, in which areas? I see the surplus of 367,242. So it makes me ask the question whether they do have vacancies. Have they filled all the vacancies? If not, what are the challenges and so on around that particular matter? Thanks, Chair. Maybe I will come back. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. The next was Honourable Fulton.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. I would like to add my voice to what the previous speaker just said. We really appreciate it as Parliament when institutions are benefiting from public funds and they demonstrate astuteness in handling those funds. Just a few questions. How environmental friendly are your methodologies of testing what comes to your offices for testing and certification? Do you have any relationship at all with institutions of learning? I will not necessarily say higher learning. The reason I'm asking this is because an institution like yours, which focuses on innovation, becomes very, very relevant in the context of creating jobs, you know, thinking out of the box. We need people to be encouraged at a young age to begin to think out of the box. So I want to know if you have got any relationship with institutions of learning. Now, the mother of all my questions is, what socio-economic impact do your products have? You just, in an angled manner, referred in one of the slides towards the end to socio-economic issues of socio-economics. Now I want to know if at all you do measure the socio-economic impact that comes about as a result of the use of your products. Now, because you say somewhere your products are deemed or expected to be equal to or better than the other products. Lastly, where would one be able to locate them in the marketplace? Because time and time again, when building contractors go to schools and the like, you hardly see any innovation. It looks like your average contractor uses, you know, the standard or well-known methods of construction. In other words, how do you make sure that your products are marketed? For instance, if there is construction of a public facility, do you make sure that one of the boards on site reflects that a new product that comes from yourselves, you know, is part of the products that are being used so that people can get to know about your new products? And those are my friendly questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Madam, it's your turn now.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation. Because it's my new committee, I'm learning so much. Chair, while I was listening to the presentation, especially coming to the achievement, everything goes very well. There are no challenges. So I just wanted to find out if maybe, not that I'm a negative person, so there's no way in life that everything can just be so smooth. If maybe you can just fill up, I don't see anywhere where there are any challenges, because challenges are there to make yourself a better person. That's my other question. And when I'm looking in terms of their financial reporting here, there is no way, they have an employee remuneration, but there is no way we even mention about the performance bonus. Do they pay the performance bonus or anything? The other thing, Chair, that is worrying me, if maybe they can explain to us, there is really a significant decline in the income derived from the international sector contract income. If maybe they can explain for us what is the problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Baba Stole.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you from the presenter, because actually ACRI South Africa is one entity that always do their best. But my question, Chairperson, is that one. If you check on page 32, the technical outcomes, they have approved 33 in 2012 or 2013, and 2013, 2014, 33 again, 2014, 2015, 23 again.
I don't know if they can just give us, these are the right figures. And the other chairperson is the marketing strategy of the urban South Africa, because I always try to find out about the offices, how many offices do they have? And the other one is that the capacity, because they do have capacity, they no means that they can help the municipalities, if they can have offices in municipality and help them for in this scenarios. And the last one, Chairperson, is the life cycle of their products. Because they always develop, if they establish new development, they have to standardize those developments. What I want to check, the innovative technology, the life cycle of the construction, if you have a house, are they going to take for 50 or lesser than 50 years, David? Thank you. Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to the presenters. I want to begin with the financial report. On the total expenses, you have depreciation. I want to know from you from 2012 to 13, 14, and 15, there was quite a dip in the 2013-2014 depreciation. What caused that? The second one is, Chairperson, on slide 21, they want to minimize the risk associated with the use of innovative technologies. I want to know what kind of risks are there. Do you have any association with international bodies like yours? And do you share the risks to make the risk less? And on slide 20, they talk about the ongoing quality assurance. Do they follow the product? Is quality assurance done periodically? And how do they link with international bodies to assure the quality? And the last one, Chair, is on slide 8. They say, the second bullet, the agreement system is a procedure with facilities which facilitates and encourages. Now, what methods do they use to encourage the use of this new innovation? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Honorable Member Matebe.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Would you kindly speak into the mic or bring it closer to you so that we can hear you?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, presenters. Chairperson, I'm covered by my colleagues. So I've just got one area which I'm not clear with. This Agrimed South Africa, their dream manufacturing, also manufacture the product and also give us certifications. I don't know as to whether you are clear, you are a player or a referee at the same time. What is it you're doing? Just wanted clarification on that.
And also area of operations. Is it nationally, provinces or what? Because I'm from Limpopo, I've never seen this at South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments and questions, members. I'll start with the minister, give him an opportunity to participate in regard to the issue that you wanted to give clarity, and then revert to Agrima.
No, thanks, Chairperson and members. I think, Chairperson, you were apt in terms of your response to the first question. The issue of the location of this entity, whether it should be science and technology or public works, you write as a policyman. But the only explanation we can give is this historical one, which says that DPW regulates the built environment, and therefore so DPW, which has been dealing with the policy regulation of the built environment, that's how this thing ended up being located here. And it's important also to note that what this entity has been doing is to evaluate the fitness for the purpose of whatever innovation is, which becomes the whole of the built environment. But also, we must not forget that a lot of built environment professionals prior to 1994 were being trained in the public works. And it was also part of training them and as part of regulating these materials. That's the explanation is historical. But if there's need that it shifts, to me the location is not a big deal. The key is what it does. And if there's a need that it goes under science and technology, something maybe that can be entered in. But remember that it does not innovate. It checks if this is fit, it meets the right standards. Innovation will be done by the different people, but it must be put for testing. They will do it in the private sector and so on and so on. But ultimately, must somebody say, as the people who are regulating the environment, the built environment, is it fit for that purpose? But the last one, it's the last comment, we've been dealing with this. There are schools which have been built on the latest material. So, you remember, if I'm right, it's by IDT, it's about 12 schools. 12 schools, some in Northwest, some in the Eastern Cape. With the earlier material, there were problems. But that's part of innovation. Because these are the risks we're talking about. Sometimes, you need to see the weaknesses of the earlier innovation to improve. But you must not be afraid of innovation. Because if you're talking about the world and construction, cement, brick and cement is not the future. If you listen carefully where people are going and the issues of environment, sustainability and so on and so on. So we need these. They are going to be tested. Some of them are not going to be 100%. But technology will keep on improving on them. Already, as somebody has indicated, they are very cheap, quick easy to do the construction, like the hostel that we're talking about in some universities. Stellenbosch has a hostel. If you look at number of hotels around the airports, they are using the very same material, these small hotels and so on. So, but it's I think it's a journey of innovation and technology, but it must be tested and so on. That's what I can say thus far.
Thank you very much, Minister. Agrima. You may proceed.
Sorry. Just on a lighter note, I can't resist this.
Don't resist it.
I was
Release
just wondering
yourself.
Who the hell was the Minister of Public Works in 1969? I don't know. I was at school, but I hope it wasn't P.W. Botha.
Well, perhaps one of the officials will know who was the minister then. Do we recall? Who was the Minister of Openbare Werke, Public Works then?
No, we will research that, but what we know is that Public Works was the first department to be set by the union. That's very interesting.
First department established by the Union of South Africa in 1910. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable members, thank you for the questions. I will respond to them as asked. The first question was, we make use of knowledgeable experts. Who appoints them and where do we get them? We appoint them ourselves as Agrima South Africa. Where do we get them? We appoint people who are recognized by their peers as experts in their field of expertise. Therefore, they come from industry, they come from universities. It's an individual who's recognized as an expert in his field of expertise. If it's a roads product, you probably look at SANRAL government departments or provincial departments of entities regarding roads-related projects. The second question was, this was from Honorable Drath, the financial performance, the increased income, and why the local income, local public sector income was zero. We do not dictate who comes to us for the assessments. Therefore, in certain years, there may be more, in other years, there may be less. But the figures are pretty small, and in that particular year, it just happened that that particular year, there was zero for that particular segment of the contract income. Honorable Madlopa requested why there's a decline in international funding. As it's the same answer. We do not dictate. Last year, there was a spike in reality. The 2014-15, if you compare with 2012-13 and 2011-12, the 160 is more than the 112 in 2011-12. Well, significantly higher than the 17 in 2012-13. So it just happened that there was a spike in 2013-14. The second question from Honorable Madlopa is why the surplus of, whether there are any vacancies in relation to the surplus. Currently there are no vacancies, and so there are none. The question regarding public funding, I think in the astute, this was the next question, whether we are, how economically friendly are our test methods? Our test methods are in line with international best standards. We benchmark our tests with our other peer organizations worldwide. Therefore, they're in line with international best practice. We do take care of environmental issues. We look at the issues which are because we do an environmental assessment to see whether that product is fit for purpose. We are going to broaden this particular area as more and more legislation becomes more and more stringent. But we do not allow products which may be harmful to the environment to get out into the market. The product must be fit for purpose in terms of health and safety of the people who are going to be exposed to it. The question was, do we have any relationships with institutions of learning? Yes, I thank you for that question, because yes, we do. The answer is yes. We do interact with schools on an extensive basis. They do come to us on a regular, when I say regular, it's maybe a couple of times a year. We also do go out, we outreach to the schools whereby we go and showcase what we do. And it's normally quite a learning experience when the people, especially the younger students in high schools and other institutions of learning get to be exposed to our area of work. We also interact with universities, tertiary institutions of learning, whereby we make outreach and they also come into us to view, to have a day like the members of parliament did have a day with us last year, where we take them through the labs, we take them through the assessments, and we introduce them to the area of innovative construction technologies. So we do interact with them. We also do play our role in the area of tertiary education or training, where we do assist within universities and other things. We hope to do more of this because we believe that if you tap the schools, the children at an earlier age at high school, and get them interested in science and technology, they may just veer into the science and technology field and play a bigger role. So yes, we do play a role, and as I say, I wish I had more hands to be able to do more of it, but it is an area that's very close to my heart. I'm very passionate about education and training, and we do play a great role in that particular area. We also do have a lot of students who come in for us to work with us as interns, who come in to work as bursary students and other forms of training whereby we give them an opportunity to do experiential training and other related activities, and learnerships and bursary students. So we do play our role big time. Thank you. On the question of what socioeconomic impact do our products have, I did state that our products are equal to or better than national products. In other words, they must comply with the National Building Regulation, which is in accordance with the Building Standards Act. We do not produce the products ourselves, therefore we do not stipulate what socioeconomic impact they will have to meet. But a lot of them do have socioeconomic impact. A lot of them are suitable for labor creation. Typical example is the paving block, which can be produced using labor and provide jobs because it can be laid by hand instead or in place of tarmac and other forms of road construction. The hyper-compressed adobe, the earth brick, is also another product which could have socioeconomic impact. So yes, our products could have socioeconomic impact, but I must stress that we do not produce the products ourselves. The next question was, how do we make it known that our products are being used? In other words, the question was, are we required to place a board outside the product that the product is being utilized? We do not get involved in the actual projects. We test, and that's where our mandate ends. However, we require that when somebody uses a product that he places an Agrima logo to make sure that the product can be identified. And similar to the SAB's logo, the reason the SAB's logo is better known than the Agrima logo is that SAB's products cover the whole range of products in the marketplace, from foodstuffs to chemicals to vehicles to everything. Our mandate is limited to the construction industry. And there could be a logo on a timber beam in the roof, but you wouldn't know it's an Agrima product because it's hidden from the public view. It could be a logo on the undertile membrane, but it's hidden from your view. You wouldn't see it. There could be a logo on the undertile membrane, but it's hidden by the concrete floor finish. Therefore, yes, we do require that a logo be placed, and when they're housing products or building systems, they are required to put a plaque, which they do, which indicates it's an Agrima product. But people are not very familiar with the Agrima product simply because of the specialized nature of our mandate. The next question was, we've only listed achievements and not challenges. And I must state that one of our biggest challenges was the lack of mandate, which has largely been addressed. We thank the department for addressing that particular challenge, because this actually could lead to people questioning why we're assessing products and you don't have a legal mandate. That is in the process of being history. The question of financial bonus, I'll allow my colleague to respond to that at the end, but I'll proceed with the other questions. There's a significant incline in international income. I've already responded to that because of the spike in 2014. Honorable Stolle asked the number of offices and whether we do have presence in municipalities. We currently operate from Pretoria, whereby we cover the whole country from there, but we do have a presence in Port Elizabeth. One must realize that we are a very modest organization in size, and as such it is not currently possible for us to have a provincial outreach. But we do cover the entire country from our Pretoria office by people bringing the products to us and we assess them and they can be used nationally. As I say, we do not go out and do the projects. We test the products and allow the individuals who have the certificates to go out and roll them out. But we do have a national outreach in terms of outreaching to the municipalities and the building control officials who, when they are faced with products, innovative products, they do come to us and we provide them with the technical support in the use or in the approval of innovative construction products to be used within the spheres of jurisdiction within the local authorities. The question of life cycle, do we, whether our products are assessed for life cycle performance? The answer is yes. We do accelerated weathering tests which simulate the performance in use over an extended period of time. A building is expected to last at least 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and our accelerated weathering test simulates weather conditions, hot, cold cycle, that will enable us to make scientific judgments of what the actual performance in use will be out in the field over an extended period of time. So the answer is yes, we do carry scientific tests to simulate the accelerated weathering. Honorable Adams asked the question regarding the financial, why the total expenses why there was a dip in the depreciation in 13-14. It's a spike there's a dip in 13-14 and a spike in 14-15. I'll allow my financial person to answer, but possibly the increase was due to a couple of additional assets that we did acquire. Depreciation is just the depreciation of product. So in certain years, we do acquire slightly more scientific equipment and expenses, and some of them may depreciated over a shorter period of time. The question of minimizing the risks, and do we know of any risks, and whether we do have international links. We know of risks. Yes, obviously, it's a risk of the unknown. It's a product that's not known. Therefore, there are risks. But we minimize the risk by carrying out the scientific test to prove that the product can be fit for purpose. If it's not fit for purpose, then we do not allow it to be used in the market. So that is the way we minimize the risk. We do risk mitigation by carrying out tests. Do we have international links? Yes, we are members of the World Federation. Do we share the risks? Yes, because we share information on test methods and test results. And the question, done before as well as, the question was, do we share the risks? Yes, we do the tests because we share our methods and our test criteria are in line with international best practice. What do we to encourage technical innovation? We issue a lot of technical papers, we attend conferences where we give talks, we talk at big conferences nationally and worldwide, and we also participate in exhibitions where we showcase our works both to students and to technical experts out there in the field. The last question was, Agrima South Africa, do we manufacture products? No, we do not manufacture products. And where our areas of operation, as I've said previously, we do have an office in Pretoria as well as a presence in PE, but we cover the entire Republic of South Africa. I thank you all for the questions that you've answered. I'll allow my colleagues to add some additional words. Thank you.
Thank you. On the performance bonus, Agrima falls under CSIR, and all the bonus is included on the employee remuneration according to CSI criteria of how they calculated the bonuses, because Agrima is treated as a unit under the built environment. On the depreciation, why 2014, our CEO elaborated a little bit about it. It's more of some of the assets depreciated. If you check 2012, 2013, you will find some of the assets have already been written off from that year. And in 2013, 14, that's why the depreciation was reduced. And in 2015, we have an additional asset that we bought on for Agrima. Thank you.
Thank you very much to you.
Just to add on to what our CEO has alluded, I can just touch on some of the questions just to expand on them. The one on the life cycle of a product, that also depends on the overall performance or on the overall maintenance of the product itself. I mean, even your conventional construction products, they're not immune if you don't maintain them. So the same thing applies to innovative products. So long as you maintain them, you can prolong the lifespan of the product. The other one we can touch on is How many offices do we have? Like the CEO alluded, we've got our main offices are in Pretoria, and then we've got offices in PE. We used to have an office in Cape Town at the Stellenbosch University, and then there's a request now from the people of Cape Town that we need to reopen that office, and then we are looking into that. And then I can just expand on the other one for how do we minimize the risk involved. I think the appropriate answer for that one is we are more like a watchdog. There is a risk of if there are products, that are coming from overseas, and then we don't have any information on those particular products. So in essence, we are more like a watchdog whereby we protect the consumers against the use of untested or inferior products. I think I'll touch on that later on this one. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you very much. The content advisor of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works informs me that the Minister of Public Works in 1968 was a gentleman that went by the initials E.W. Marie. Some useful information about the past of public works. Thank you.
I think she wanted to check if it was perhaps one of her uncles.
Now, I'm further reminded that the maiden surname of the former leader of the DA, a maiden surname is Marie.
No, it's the other way around.
The other way around.
Zilla is her maiden name.
Oh, Zilla is a maiden name.
And her husband is Marie.
Is Marie.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. So there's lots of, what is it called? Not common sense, information. Any further questions, comments briefly, members, before Agrima takes its leave? Honorable Member Filtani, followed by Honorable Member Kopani.
Thank you, Chair. You've been in existence since, some 46 years ago. But wherever we go looking at materials, especially building materials, all we hear about is this SABS, compliant. Why is it that there's so little known about yourself? This is still related to my earlier question, and it does concern me that there's very little known about yourselves, and more importantly, what can you do to make sure that you are more known than is the case now? I had the explanation by the CEO that your label could be hidden somewhere. Can you tell us about instances where you make sure that your label is prominent, and more importantly, that people are aware of your existence? For instance, my case, I've been involved in the construction industry for many, many years. I only came to know about your existence when I joined Parliament. I never knew that such an important institution like yourselves that exists. You know, I've worked very, very closely with people in the construction industry. What would you do to make sure that you better known than is the case now? Thanks.
All I can say, Honorable Filtani, on a previous occasion, I also said that the good work of Agrima needs more prominence. If I recall what I said then, I said that Agrima is unlike a hen that lays one egg. The whole village will know. It makes a noise. But I said that Agrima, unlike laying one egg, is like a fish. It lays hundreds of eggs at the same time, but nobody knows about it, silent. So they will have to do something about that. Honorable Kopane, followed by Honorable Sithole.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I just want to find out, because they claim to use expertise from different departments or different institutions to test the product. How long does it take to, you know, to do those technical assessments, because they use people from outside? And I didn't hear anything about the backlog. It's like everything is so smooth. The product come now, is tested, is gone. I didn't hear anything. My other question, Chair, that is very interesting, is after the product has been tested, and according to them, they find that it's not suitable to be used, but people further continue to use that that product, even if it didn't comply with the standards that has been said. What do they do in terms of that situation? Because that is exactly what is happening now. People who use the product that are not suitable to be used. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Sithole, I would also like to remind the House that there is tea and coffee outside, so if you could kindly slip out and have tea, or perhaps after this we'll just break for 5 minutes. Or continue. Okay. Baba Sithole, Mhlonishwa.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, mine is actually directed to the Minister, because sometimes we can blame Agrima South Africa, but they are falling under CSIR. That's the problem that I see. That's the challenge that the ministers need to face, because they are working actually under dark cloud. Nobody will know them.
Could you kindly turn your mic towards you, please? We are missing the essential elements of what you are saying. You might have to repeat yourself. For 2 minutes, you are like Radio Freedom. Just when it comes to the juicy parts, the sign fades.
Chair, I was saying that the Agrima South Africa, they are under CSIR. So that's why sometimes you cannot recognize them as an entity that is working. But I think that's a challenge that goes to the minister, because I think CSI is under science and technology. I don't know if I'm wrong. Thank you, Chair.
Could we just explain the nexus between CSIR, Agrima, Department of Science and Technology, and our beloved Department of Public Works?
Because my understanding is that part of the problem is that they were part of the CSIR because of what others would call the SAPS value chain. And they have remained very small because they were under that. But now that we are going to reconstruct them or reconstitute them to be an independent legal entity, well, subject to the approval of this particular bill, it means this entity is going to become bigger and stand on its own. And even the issues of their budget are going to be entertained properly, because they will be an independent entity. And then we'll start this debate of them projecting themselves properly at the public level, because they were under this big animal now called the CSIR. So I think as we move towards the future, once we reconstitute, once we pass the bill, the issues of the budget are going to come in and so on and so on. Then it's for future, it's going to be. But the nature of the work has remained very, very important in terms of ensuring that things are fit for this purpose. Thank you.
Honorable Minister, thank you very much for the further elaboration and making it clear what the future holds for AGRIMA South Africa. It does not seem as if there are any further comments or questions directed at AGRIMA South Africa. So, good folks, I would like to thank you. And then we don't just see you once a year, but if and when there are issues that we need to engage you, we will do so directly, so that we follow up. And then members were also interested in the challenges that you have. So perhaps in future, your challenges will be more foregrounded, so that where we can, we're able to help you in regard to those challenges. And then also to the level of professionals within your rank, are they adequate? As you are going to grow, you'd obviously need more professionals. How is that going? The budget to be allocated, will that be sufficient? So all of those are ongoing issues that we'll keep on discussing with you, good sirs. But for today, it seems this is how far we can traverse down this path. Thank you very much. Good folks, shall we break for 5 minutes? Tea, leg stretch, no smoking. And then be back at 5:30 so that we continue with our other work. Thank you very much. You are making sure that I don't drink.